You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
9pm only on 95BFM.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Certainly is that time. That time comes again for the final time. Don't act too sad, Ben.
Oh no, I was just laughing at you.
Yeah, how about get fucked? Anyway, what am I talking about? Oh yeah, Andrew. I spoke to Andrew Little. We had a good chat about a number of things, including the medicinal cannabis bill that was just passed, the synthetic cannabis that the sort of government has decided they're going to be treating it as a health issue rather than a criminal issue. We also spoke about name suppression and, you know, sort of also a bit about recreational cannabis, how the medicinal cannabis bill might affect that. That might interest you, Ben.
No.
Get it?
Yeah, I do get it, Lachlan.
Righto, here's Andrew. Oh, actually, sorry, no, I began by asking him, what on earth was my first question for Andrew? Oh, yeah, so how does name suppression, you know, people kind of ignoring name suppression, jeopardise fair trials? Mm-hmm. Here he is.
Well, the reason why names are suppressed, usually on an interim basis to begin with, is the judge wants to preserve the right of the defendant to, you know, instruct counsel, tell family, sort themselves out. There may be issues about getting psychiatric reports, all that sort of thing, and also to be able to conduct a trial on the basis that potential jurors haven't been contaminated with a whole lot of information beforehand, you know, and presented in the media sometimes in exaggerated terms. In the end, it is about preserving the defendant's fair trial rights. And when that is compromised, when information that has been suppressed is then subsequently published and can potentially affect jurors or potential jurors, then it puts that at risk, ultimately puts the trial at risk or gives the defendant a future defence that they could not get a fair trial and runs the risk that they could walk free even though they may well have been responsible for what they're accused of. That is, you know, that is as much an injustice and a travesty as an innocent person being convicted, and it is serious.
And as we've seen, there's no real way of enforcing this in other jurisdictions. I mean, how much of a problem is this?
Well, I mean, you know, the high-profile cases like the Grace Mullane case now means there, obviously there's a level of interest, and because she's a UK citizen, their media are going to pick it up. Their media don't feel bound by the suppression orders here. Although, that said, somebody in New Zealand had to have provided that information to an overseas news outlet. So whoever did that is arguably in breach of the suppression order, notwithstanding that. I think even though, look, and people say, look, this is the internet, so you can't do anything about it, actually, whether I'm as justice minister or just somebody concerned about the effective running of our justice system, I've got to say, actually, this should not be happening. Okay, so the British media might not be bound by suppression orders issued in New Zealand, but they should be concerned about the fair trial rights of somebody who is accused of having murdered one of their own citizens. And if they want justice to be done in the interest of one of their own citizens, they should not be publishing information that has been suppressed in New Zealand. It's as simple as that. It doesn't help, too, when you get, you know, Google, for example, with its algorithms picking up all sorts of news and also then feeding it out to people in New Zealand with information that has been suppressed. I mean, that is a concern. All we can do at this point, in the absence of international agreements between nation states, is to prevail upon those outlets to respect the suppression orders in New Zealand to ensure that justice can be done in New Zealand.
Do you think the laws around name suppression need reforming? Because people, I suppose especially with the internet as it is, don't really seem to be taking it terribly seriously and are posting the name of the accused. So do you think there need to be kind of more public awareness or harsher penalties?
Yeah, I mean, the way the law runs at the moment is that there's a presumption against name suppression, but what happens is that when an application for name suppression is declined, then obviously the person has a right of appeal, as they do in most sort of legal situations, and then suppression does apply in the interim while the appeal is being sorted out. That's a matter of fairness for the defendant, regardless of what you think of the defendant. And So, I mean, that part of the law doesn't need to change. What can we do about those who breach the suppression orders? Well, for those who do so in New Zealand, we already have the law of contempt of court. Parliament is currently considering a codification of the law of contempt of court, thanks to work by Chris Finneson and picked up by the government. That bill is going through Parliament. But, you know, whatever laws we can, that we have for controlling this within New Zealand are pretty much there. It's what we do with new sources overseas that anybody in New Zealand has access to that leads to effectively breaching a suppression order. That is much harder, and all we can do at the moment is prevail upon those websites and news sources from overseas in terms of, you know, any moral argument we have that this just isn't fair if we want to ensure fair trial rights, not only for the accused, but for the victim and their family.
And moving on, the medicinal cannabis bill passed its third reading. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, look, I think it's a good step. I think and certainly the Labor Party is one of the parties in government. We campaigned on it. We always had a consistent view in opposition that this was an area of medicinal product regulation that needed to be changed. It is the right thing to do. I think as the bill has gone through the House, it is, you know, it's actually broadened, if you like, in its application. Mm. I think it'll make a big difference to a lot of people who are suffering chronic pain and terminal illness that entails a lot of pain. So that is the right thing. And we know that through various polls that the one thing that people have supported in huge numbers is access to cannabis and cannabis products for those in these sort of situations. The next thing is we're considering, obviously, is the legalising of cannabis. We've also got the government's response to psychoactive substances. We've just announced this morning, just really in the last hour or so, that you know, we're going to legislate for the way the police exercise their discretion is to take a therapeutic approach for those found in possession of various recreational drugs so that they, you know, they get treatment rather than a criminal record. And I think this is consistent with actually trying to fix an underlying problem, which was massive problems with addiction.
And just continuing on with this kind of changes to the Misuse of Drugs Act around synthetic cannabis. So you have announced that it will kind of be treated as a health issue rather than a criminal issue. Do you think this will have more of an effect on the crisis than the approach up until now?
Yeah, well, I mean, what the focus up to now has been, well, there have been attempts to regulate the actual substances, and the problem is that the regulation system just cannot keep up with the different substances. And then the other part of it, kind of the National Party approach, is to try and deal with supply and suppliers and put in place massive penalties for that. The reality is, you know, we've got that at the moment, and it hasn't worked. And just, you know, ramping up the penalties for supply isn't changing the fact that there are people who are addicted, who are in demand of the product and who are seeking it out in whatever way they can, sometimes committing crimes to get the funds and needed to get their next shot.
But so, you are still going to be, I suppose it says here, cracked down on synthetic drug dealers, so there is still going to be quite harsh penalties on those dealing, possibly up to life in prison.
Well, for 14 years, I think. So what will happen is the latest kind of two most common substances used will be elevated into the Class A drug regime under the Misuse of Drugs Act, so stiffer penalties. So you've got to have quite a fair quantity to warrant that. But the reality is the people the police are most coming across because they're in dire circumstances are users. People who have small quantities and no doubt purchase them off someone, but they either are collapsed, unconscious, and actually, sadly, you know, people who are dying as a result. So we want to take those who clearly have an addiction problem and get them treatment so they can be sure that they're not going to be kind of banged up in a police jail cell and dragged off to court. And hope that that's a way to treat their addiction. They'll actually get proper addiction treatment. If somebody's caught several times over and not taking up the opportunity, to get therapeutic treatment or otherwise sort of, you know, not doing a thing, well, then actually eventually, even for possession, we'll have to, you know, it'll still remain a criminal offence. So that's the regime we're putting in place right now for psychoactive substances. I think if you have a look at the recommendations of the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry that was released a couple of weeks ago, I mean, they have been, they are saying that we need to look at, relook at our whole approach to all of this stuff and adopt a therapeutic approach across the board. And that's the next kind of phase of work that the government will do. Minister of Health David Clark said you'll get what the government's responses are next March. But I think there is a view now, there's an informed and educated view saying what we've been doing for decades and decades and decades on drugs and recreational drugs and other sources of addiction, actually we've got to be doing something differently. And I guess we're starting that process.
And do you think police will use their discretion to kind of apply the therapeutic approach rather than chase a prosecution? And how can you ensure that it is fairly kind of implemented in the same way?
Yeah, I think they will, because I think they are at the moment. It's actually, there are not many prosecutions now for possession of various drugs, of recreational drugs. They give warnings, they do that sort of stuff. That is the approach they take at the moment. How can you gauge whether or not they're doing it properly? I mean, I guess writing into the statute, the fact they've got to exercise their discretion in this particular way is a bit of a check and a balance. And if an overzealous police officer does prosecute in a first instance sort of case, a judge can say, you know what, did you exercise your discretion, as the law says, and the judge isn't satisfied, the judge could have tossed it out. But I'm confident the approach that the police have been taking for some time, and the way they have been talking to us about it, is that they know that the answer to the problem isn't kind of just locking people up, but actually in a lot of the drug cases they're dealing with, it's people who need help, and their attitude now is they'd rather get the people help than just give them a criminal conviction.
And just finally, so with the medicinal cannabis bill, National has called it decriminalisation by stealth. What do you say to this, and do you think it will have any kind of impact on the possible legalisation of cannabis in the next year or two?
Yeah, look, I don't think it is decriminalisation by stealth, because there'll be circumstances in which possession can lead to a prosecution and a criminal conviction. So it's not the Portuguese model, which actually was what the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry was suggesting. I think the legalising cannabis is very much focused on that particular drug, on cannabis, and that's about accepting that, this stuff is here, it's been here for decades and decades and decades. We're not going to stop people using it, but what we want to do is make sure that we can have effective controls and regulation of it, so that including THC levels and an age restriction and all that sort of stuff. That's what legalising cannabis allows you to do. We want to put that in a referendum to New Zealand, and they get a chance to vote on that. That's what that part of the exercise is about.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.